You know, you can always tell a citizen of a country because that citizen likes to tell you about his country and can't wait to go back to his country. You can tell the difference between a citizen and a tourist, right? Well, you know what? You can also tell a spiritual tourist. You know what a spiritual tourist is? So tied to the earth, they're not really that excited about Jesus coming back at any moment. He doesn't need to come back for a long time, truth be told, because they're so rooted here. We all need a single eye. That's how we practice it. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm focused on. That's how I make my decisions.
The Bible is still the most printed publication around. Do you know what's second? The IKEA catalog. This year's edition was printed in 17 languages and distributed in 28 different countries. Shopping and updating our homes will probably never go out of style, but the love of the IKEA catalog may illustrate something we all struggle with to some degree. We'll talk about that more here in just a moment, but first, a look inside the Connect with Skip Resource Center.
Fake news. It used to be restricted to tabloids at the grocery store checkout, and it used to be so obvious. Chimpanzee head put on human body. But now, there are entire websites dedicated to helping us figure out if a story, speech, or statistic is true or not. Here's Skip Heitzig with an important question.
Is there such a thing as absolute truth? I want you to just think about that question.
We want to help you get started in answering that question with two brand new booklets by Pastor Skip, Why Truth Matters and God and Suicide.
You see, the Bible makes truth claims, and some of those claims are, well, pretty absolute. But how can you know it's really true?
These resources will help you better understand the nature of truth so you can pursue God's truth in your life. And they're our way to thank you for your gift of $35 or more today to help expand this Bible teaching outreach. Get your copies when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
You know, every disease needs a cure, and influenza is no different. We'll be in Exodus chapter 20 and Philippians chapter 4. So if you're taking notes, you'll want to be sure to mark that as we begin. Here's Skip Heitzig with more.
Having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What can we learn in just those few verses about contentment? Number one, contentment is related to godliness. And if you're taking notes, write that down. Contentment is related to godliness. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, the problem with being content or discontent truly is not outward. It's truly an inward problem. And Jesus said this, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the stuff that you need, all these things will be added unto you. So I'd put it this way. Your contentment in life is directly proportional to your seeking first the kingdom of God, i.e. godliness. The godlier you become, the more content you will become. I've seen it over and over again in life after life after life. Godliness and contentment go hand in hand. Which means you're going to have to actively battle stuff. I was on television today and I noticed a couple of commercials that were just so crazy and outlandish of how you will be a fulfilled individual if you buy that beer or if you buy that product. And maybe it's time you and your family, when you see these commercials, put it on pause and collectively look at the TV and out loud say, that's a lie. Reprogram yourself. Don't let them program you like you need that. Tell it, that's a lie. So contentment is related to godliness. The second thing we learn here about contentment is that contentment is rooted in eternity. Look at what Paul says. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we carry nothing out. Contentment is rooted not here, but in eternity. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's interesting. Egyptians are known for putting their treasures in the caskets of their kings. The idea was, we have to give them stuff so their afterlife will be comfortable, as if you really could take it with you. But the Bible says you came into the world empty-handed, and you're going to leave empty-handed. As many people have said in times past, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? Never. You can't take it with you. You see, when I go to the airport, I'm not worried that I can't decorate the bathroom. You know what I mean by that? I'm there for 30 minutes, an hour. I don't think, I got to just spend some time fixing that up. I don't like the colors. I'm going somewhere else. It's very transitory. And so it is with this life. It's very transient. It can't be rooted here. It has to be rooted elsewhere. So contentment is related to godliness. Contentment is rooted in eternity. Here's a third. Contentment rejoices in essentials. It rejoices in essentials. Paul writes, having food and clothing, with these, we will be content. In other words, that's all you need. And if God puts that in your container, in your fence, for you to be godly and say, that's all that I need, you're miles ahead of most everybody on earth. Now, most of us are not part of the jet set. Some of you may be. Most of us are part of the debt set. You know, people have said, well, money talks. Usually to us, it says, bye-bye, right? We can all relate to those words or these. Proverbs 23, will you set your eyes on that which is not? Riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. You go, yep, I see it all the time. A fourth thing to see here in contentment. Contentment is ruined by craving more. Contentment is ruined by craving more. Notice what he says. For those who desire, verse 9, to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare. This is something we just touched on last week when we read this. And into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's ruined by craving for more. Did you know that a 36-month-old toddler can recognize 100 brand name logos at that age? They've done tests. 36-month-old toddler can recognize 100 brand logos. And if you wonder why are logos shaped certain ways and certain colors given to them, they're done for this reason, so that children at young ages can recognize those brand name logos and say, gotta have them later on when they learn to talk. Now, notice something in that verse that we just looked at. Paul is not addressing the wealthy. He is addressing those who want it, those who desire to be rich. I heard of a cemetery in England with a gravestone over a woman's grave that said, she died for want of things. Next to her was her husband's gravestone, which read, he died trying to give them to her. Craving will rob you of contentment and joy. That's why it's called a snare here, a snare. Once upon a time, there was a pocket watch that lived in the pocket of an English gentleman. The pocket watch was very discontented being a pocket watch, especially when that gentleman walked by the Parliament building in London every day. Big Ben was right up there. The most impressive clock in the world. And that little watch, as he would come out of the pocket, he would look up and say, I want to be up there. I want everybody to see me. I could serve a lot of people instead of just one person. One day he got his wish, and he was hoisted on a string way, way up in the air. But because the watch was so small and it was so far up, nobody could see it. Its elevation was its annihilation. It wanted to be seen, wanted to be prominent, and it was, but nobody can see it because it was so small. So this is how I want to bring this to a close. All of that is good stuff, but how do you stop a desire? How do you stop these desires? How do you control feelings that you have? Well, that brings us to the third and final point. the cure must be practiced. Now go back to Exodus chapter 20 and just look at that list one more time. Since this is the last night we'll spend in it, look at the list. House, wife, servants, donkey, ox, and then anything. So again, we have three categories as we brought up last week. Things, people, and status. All of these in the list could be put in one of those three categories. Things, people, status. Now, these things are the things God has given to a neighbor, not to you. They belong, according to this verse, to somebody else. God didn't give those things to you. He didn't put them in your container. So if they're in his container or her container and not your container, your little fence, your aquarium, and if we're trying to learn contentment, we want to be self-contained, what can I do? And I close with these three things to practice contentment. All of us need a single eye, a loose grip, and an open heart. Once again, a single eye, a loose grip, and an open heart. And I want to go one by one before we close. A single eye. This is what it means. As you go through this life, as you hear the commercials, as people have more stuff or less stuff, you remember, just an airport. Don't worry about decorating the bathroom. Worry about where you're going. Single eye. I'm going to heaven, eternity. Have you ever heard people say, "Well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good"? That's nuts. The best way to be earthly good and not tied to the earth is to be heavenly minded. As Paul said, he put it this way, Colossians 3, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So yeah, I know we're walking in this world. Our feet are firmly set on terra firma, the earth. We have responsibilities. We all need homes and cars, etc., etc. But it's passing, and that influences how we interact with those things. And our real focus is on our future home. It needs to be. Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. You know, you can always tell a citizen of a country because that citizen likes to tell you about his country and can't wait to go back to his country. You can tell the difference between a citizen and a tourist, right? Well, you know what? You can also tell a spiritual tourist. You know what a spiritual tourist is? So tied to the earth, they're not really that excited about Jesus coming back at any moment. He doesn't need to come back for a long time, truth be told, because they're so rooted here. We all need a single eye. That's how we practice it. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm focused on. That's how I make my decisions. Second, a loose grip. A loose grip. You see, what did Paul say? You enter the world empty. How did you come into the world? With two hands. Was anything in them? Was a BMW key in one hand? No, you came in empty-handed. Your hands may have been open, hand may have been little fists like babies do, but there was nothing inside. And that's how we're going to leave. Job noted that. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return." So there's two ways to live your life. There's two ways to hold something. Grab it, hands closed, or hands open with an open hand. My dad used to love to tell the story about his pet raccoon. Yeah, he had one growing up. And he used to talk about the old way they would catch raccoons. And here's what they would do. They'd put a piece of tinfoil in a box, a cage with bars that was staked to the ground. And it was big enough for the raccoon to put its little paw through, and it would grab the shiny tinfoil because it was attracted to the glitter, the gleam, the shine. And now, grabbing that little piece of tinfoil, it changed the shape of its hand so he couldn't remove his arm from the cage. And here's the weird thing. It would seem the raccoon would never let go. You could approach it, you could threaten it, you could capture it, and the raccoon would rather like lose its freedom and its life than let go of that piece of shiny tinfoil. So it's better to live like this than like this. Single eye, loose grip, and as you find yourself relaxing your grip and your hands are now open, make sure that they're raised a lot toward heaven and you're thanking God for what's in your cage, in your container. In fact, walk around your container when you get home and just posit that thing. Go, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And then to your wife or husband, Lord, you're going to look weird doing this. Lord, thank you for her, for him. Thank you for them. Thank you for this container. It's enough, Lord. Give me a single eye. Give me an open hand. And finally, an open heart, a loose grip and an open heart. A person with affluenza dreams of getting, taking more. A person cured of affluenza thinks about giving. Too many people go through life with catcher's mitts on both hands. More, more, more. Throw it my way. A person cured of affluenza doesn't live that way. There was a very wealthy man who said to his pastor, Pastor, when I had $50,000, I was pretty happy. Now I have $500,000 and I'm miserable. Pastor said, the solution's pretty easy. Give away $450,000. The man said, it's not that easy. He said, money is like electricity. The more the juice, the tighter the hold. So we need to learn to practice being generous with people that we see around us because materialism can enslave the heart. And I know our coins say, in God we trust. But do we? I think the motto of our country in many areas have been, in goods we trust. So how's your contentment level? Are you living an abundant life? Oh, I would be, Pastor, if I only had. No, contentment means containment and independence. There was a farmer who lived on a farm all his life. He wanted a change. He got tired of the same old farm. So he went to a real estate broker and said, would you put this thing up for sale? I'm tired of being on a farm. I want to get out. Real estate broker fixed up the place and put an ad in the paper and wanted to run it by the farmer before it was run on the next day. And he said, well, let me read it to you before I put it in the paper. Ideal location, modern equipment, healthy livestock, acres of fertile soil. And about that time, the farmer said, hold everything. Stop right there. I've been looking for a place like that all my life. And it was his. So contentment comes from containment. It's not what we have, it's whom we have. Whom we have. Mother Teresa, who gave up every earthly pleasure before she died, she said, you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian tonight, then you are owned. You are owned by God. When you became a Christian, you gave him the pink slip, the owner's certificate to your life. Here, God, I'm yours. You bought me with a price. It's not what I own. You own me. And because God owns you, he's promised to provide everything you need. You don't have to worry. He'll give you the container and he'll put stuff in the container and you'll make it through. Don't look through the fence to the other guy's, other gal's containers. If you're not a Christian tonight, understand this. God created you with a longing. If you're wondering, why do I feel the way I feel? I'm not satisfied in my life. It's because God created every person with a longing, and none of us will ever be satisfied or tranquil until we give our lives to him. And that's the truth, baby Ruth. That's the truth. God longs to have a relationship with you. And as you have a relationship with him and seek first his kingdom, that godliness with contentment is great gain. You'll be a contented person. Let's pray. Lord, we have a lot to learn. We recognize that. And you have a lot to say. And you have a lot of patience with us. And we have failed in every one of these commandments time and time again. And you're always there. You're always there to extend a hand of forgiveness. It's a nail-pierced hand that says, I died for your sin. I love you the way you are. But I want to make you different than the way you are. So, Lord, all of us need those changes. All of us need to learn contentment. And I pray, Father, that as our lives are related to godliness, rooted in eternity, rejoicing in the essentials, I pray they would not be ruined by craving more. Lord, I pray we'd be able to look around our container, our aquarium, whatever it is, and just say, I know the Lord. He's providing for my life. And live carefree, tranquil, contented lives. Lord, I also want to pray for those who are searching for purpose, meaning, depth. They just want change in their life. And they've been invited by a friend or a relative, a neighbor. They've come. And quite honestly, they want more out of their lives. They want to experience more. I believe they've thought lately, there's got to be more to life than what I have been presently experiencing. What is it I'm missing? And you brought them here, Lord, not by accident, but because you have an appointment. And we pray that those who have come who don't yet personally know Christ would come to meet him and enjoy his love and his provision, his forgiveness, his tranquility. In Jesus' name, amen.
So if that forgiveness, that love, that tranquility is what you're looking for today, will you pause and receive it? We have a place we'd like to invite you to begin. That's at connectwithskip.com. The link is Know God, and that's where you'll find simple steps to beginning a lifelong relationship with Jesus today. And that's where we'll finish this important teaching, Affluenza, Its Cure. And it's all part of our current series, God's Top 10, an in-depth look at the Ten Commandments. If you'd like a copy for your personal study library, all 17 teachings are bundled together as an audio CD package for only $39 plus shipping. You can call us at 1-800-922-1888 for assistance with your order. Or if you prefer, just stop by the store at connectwithskip.com. We'll continue our series, God's Top 10, with a look at the 11th Commandment. What's that? We'll find out next time with Skip Heitzig here on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.